Today on Real Radio.
When we look at a Christian, the question is, what is a real Christian like? We've got all kinds of stuff out there labeled as Christian that's not Christian. Things that go on in the name of Christianity or in the name of Christ that have nothing to do with God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 10 verses of chapter 17, which reveal more of the Messiah's teachings. And, in modern vernacular, we say that his followers are Christian. Well, exactly what or who is truly Christian? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Real Christians Look Like.
You ever thought about that? What a real Christian looks like? Well, look around. Look at the people around you right now. See, I thought they would look different than that. What does a real Christian look like? Have you ever been to the zoo? Please say yes. I love the zoo. I love the San Diego Zoo. Have you been to San Diego Zoo? If you've not been, you got to go. And you got to get a hotel room and see it for a few days. It's huge. You can't see it all in one day. San Diego Zoo is amazing. I appreciate the zoo. I love the zoo, but listen, I believe that God created it. I think the evidence is overwhelming. Scientific evidence is overwhelming. Yeah, you heard me right. Scientific evidence, I believe, is overwhelming for God's design creative powers. I'm telling you, I cannot believe, I don't have enough faith to believe that it all climbed out of a mud hole somewhere so long ago, decided to rub its face and grow an eyeball. Can't buy it. Can't go there. I think God is the great engineer. And I appreciate that. And you go to the zoo, there's no greater place than to go to a zoo and see the incredible works of God. People scratch their head. What in the world is that? Now, there's animals I can figure out. There's the rhino. And that's pretty self-explanatory. It's a rhino. It does rhino things. And the hippos, they're cool. Hippos are awesome. There's something, they're massive, and they're supposed to be very violent, you know. A hippo. But you look at their face, they got that kind of smile on their face, and they got their little ears that are going like this. Every kid loves a hippo. They're just amazing, and giraffes are obvious. Monkeys are amazing. They got those little pocket monkeys. Have you seen those at the zoo? You can actually put one in your pocket. You don't get to put them in your pocket. But you could. They're so small. And then there's those giant silverback gorillas and the apes and the monkeys and all that stuff. Makes total sense to me. But then there's some animals that just freak me out that help me understand that God has an incredible sense of humor. There are, for example, those koala bears. When something scares them, or a sloth, kind of they move the same. I'm moving now. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And you go like, what is the deal with that? And then there's the armadillo. Have you seen an armadillo? We were in Florida and we saw an armadillo go across the freeway, ran fast across the freeway. It's like a rat with tin cans wrapped around it. Got an armor plating to it. Weird looking freaky animal. Why? God, why? And then my all-time favorite. Those of you who've looked at animals that are down under, by the way, New Zealand and Australia have the most bizarre animals in all of the world, and the most deadly, and the most freaky weird. And the ones that just cause evolutionists to panic. And I'm thinking of the platypus. Have you ever seen a platypus? Evolutionists wish that was an animal that never came around into existence. I think a platypus screams the creative powers of God. First of all, it's got like a beaver-type body. It's got like a really funky, interesting tail on it. It's got feet up front that has huge claws because it digs. Okay, and then it's got webbed feet in the back because it swims. And then God took a bill off of a duck and stuck it right on the front of it. And if that wasn't enough, last time I checked anyway, it lays eggs. It's the freakiest looking thing. And you've got to say, now look, if evolution's true, what in the world? It's a moment in evolutionary process that everything just went cockeyed, strange, wrong, and then somehow got it online. Or God said, I'm going to plug this little guy together and put him out there into the world to freak evolutionists out. Just to freak them out. God is amazing. Animals, we can figure out, this is what this thing does. When we look at a Christian, the question is, what is a real Christian like? We've got all kinds of stuff out there labeled as Christian. That's not Christian. Things that go on in the name of Christianity or in the name of Christ that have nothing to do with God. Strange things, weird things, aberrant things, things that actually lead to the destruction of life. Weird, weird things. The world is dying today to see a real Christian. What is a real Christian like? Jesus is speaking in Luke 17 about what a real Christian is. And so let's look at it together as we jump into this. Verses 1 to 10, we're looking at what a real Christian looks like. And the first thing that we see in what Jesus is teaching is found right here in verses 1 and 2. So note takers, jot it down if you would. It is this. What a real Christian looks like, number one, is that they look like strangers in a foreign land. Will you mark that down? What do Christians look like? Well, first of all, they look like strangers in a foreign land. Have you ever seen somebody who's in a foreign land? Have you ever been into a foreign land? You walk a little bit different. I've been in foreign countries. You don't make mistakes in foreign countries. Why? You're a long way from the comforts of home. You don't even want to drink the water that you can drink in a foreign country. You could get sick. In some countries, Russia blew my mind. Many of us have been to Russia many times doing missionary work there. And when in Russia, like in America, you know, when you step off the curb, you expect... like America, you expect traffic to come to a screeching halt when your foot leaves the curb and steps onto the street, right? That, you know, people, oh, there's a pedestrian, slow down and stop. In Russia, when your foot leaves the curb, people speed up and aim for you. I mean, look, there's a 10-pointer right there. It's a shocker. And you've got to tell people, now watch out because the whole value system's different. Then you go to some other part of the world and make sure you look this way or you look that way before you do this. Because it's completely opposite in the world that you and I live in. First of all, Christians. What does a Christian look like? We must understand, first of all, that Christians, you and I, we live in a world that's not our home. We no longer view this as our home. And that being the case, if we are people in a foreign land now, the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ as a Christian. And we're very careful about how we walk, where we look. Everything's different about us. What we sound like, Jesus is going to be speaking about that. How so? Number one, real Christians are not offensive. Look at verse 1. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for that man if a millstone were hung about his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Bible students, make a note. These little ones, context, takes you back to Luke 15, verse 1. Who are the little ones? It's not little kids, although you can certainly include that. It's not necessarily little children that he's speaking of. It's a beautiful term Jesus is using at the end of verse 2. The little ones are all those who have fresh, new faith in Christ. It could be a little child. Billy Graham says most people come to Christ before their 10 years are up. The first 10 years of their life is where most people come to Christ. Don't tell me a godly home and a godly influence is not important. Most people come to Christ, according to Billy Graham, by the age of 10. Jesus is warning that there's a grave danger to offending someone's faith. And Jesus says here that these little ones are those that are tender in faith, ones that are just beginning, just starting out. Jesus says, look at verse 1, that it's impossible that no offenses should come. They're going to come. You and I live in a world that is sinful and it's going to be offensive to us. You can't even turn the TV on anymore without seeing some form of pornography, even in a Christmas ad, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. The stuff that's going on, billboards, magazines, sound waves, music, offensive. Jesus doesn't take it lightly. Listen, church, you and I can become so callous. And look, I'll just volunteer myself. Because I live in this world, I know that I have grown callous. Our world is such a world of graphic presentation. We have video games that show people being blown up, and we can fall asleep playing such games. It's wrong. Just as a child's innocence is protected, I think we as Christians need to get back to being innocent in what we allow into our eyes and what we allow into our ears. Somebody might say this morning, no, that's so like grandma and grandpa-like. That's what my grandpa tells me. You shouldn't be listening to that. Listen, it's important, because what goes into us is going to come out of us. It's very critical. But Jesus makes it clear that the true Christian is not an offensive person. But he does say that offenses will come. He says it's impossible. It's going to be happening in this world. It's going to happen. He uses this statement, by the way, again, the title of the disciples. He's speaking to those who are followers of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to ask you this morning if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I heard the report from the pastors this morning that you're a follower of Christ trying to get into this parking lot, I heard this morning. God bless you for making your way in here. Just try to get out. It's another story. Anyway, but this morning you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. And that's awesome. And Jesus would come right back at us in Luke 17 and say, then don't be offensive to people. And we need to know what that means. The word offense, or to be offensive in the context of this verse 1 here, is the word in Greek scandalon. Does that ring a bell? Do you hear an English word in there? To scandalize. Jesus said, don't be one who says you follow me and then be scandalous about your life. Why? Because it causes people to give up on faith. It causes people to say, well, there's those Christians again. Have you ever heard that before? The world thinks, and the world wants to think, that every Christian's a goofball. Every Christian doesn't know what they believe. Every Christian cannot defend what they believe. Jesus says, concerning those in the name of Christ who have offended the witness of Christ, Jesus says something very serious to them. He says there in the latter end of verse 1, woe to him through whom these offenses come. If somebody were to set up a stumbling block, the word offenses also means to set something up that causes someone to trip and to fall. A new believer might be so excited about Jesus growing and learning the Bible and coming to church, and they sit down and they hear someone in front of them gossiping about another Christian. And this brand new person, brand new to Jesus, thinks that everyone's brand new, when in reality the person or the people in front of them gossiping may not be Christians at all. But that offends people. Jesus says, woe. The word woe here is a tremendous word. It means that this person is in a grave situation, that this person is in a very, very dangerous place. The word also means that this person can be condemned, who causes someone to fall or to trip up. Christians are not to be offensive. Do we stand for truth? Yes. Do we stand for truth passionately with all of our hearts, Bibles open? Yes. But do we stand lovingly? Yes. Just because you stand for the truth doesn't mean you're not loving. Just because you stand for the truth doesn't make you offensive. Now, there is a verse in the Bible that says that the preaching of the cross is an offense. But that's in a whole different context. People will hear the cross, the message of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the moment they either ask the question, why did Jesus die, or they hear Jesus died on the cross for our sins, they're offended. Because the cross implies we need saving, and people don't want to hear that. You tell me about the cross, they get upset about the cross. Because it means someone had to die, and that someone was Jesus Christ. And that's offensive to people. That's not the type of offense we're talking about. The type of offense we're talking about is a stumbling whereby we sin in the ears or in the eyes or in the presence of someone, and it trips up their faith. I'm going to give you four areas that great sin is being committed in our day, in our world, around us, that cause people to trip up. And I think you ought to write them down, especially the first one. The first one I'm very passionate about, and that is the offense that comes. Jesus says, woe to the person who brings an offense. Well, this first one is one of intellectual offense. You would hope that you wrap your kid up or your college student up and send them off to school, and they're actually going to learn history or learn about reading or learn about whatever it is to better themselves and to prepare them for work and for a job and for a career. But unfortunately, our areas of higher education today, there is so much insanity being spewed out from the desks or from the mouths of college professors, I cannot believe it. And it's supposed to be some area of intellectual superiority as they pontificate these ludicrous things that have nothing to do about what this child or what this family or what the system's paying them about. Students in this church, in college classes, not a sexuality class, but the teacher sees it fit to express his view about what style of sexual preferences that he wants to engage in a class that has nothing to do with that. What in the world is going on? But then when you challenge them, oh, you must be a Christian, right? And they mock the believer. There's an intellectual setting whereby offenses come and Christians are mocked and made fun of just because they'll stand up against immorality or against an aberrant life or against, in my opinion, lunacy. The Bible says to watch out in Romans chapter 1 that there will be those in the last days professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. There's an intellectual raping that's taking place among people today. And Jesus said, I'm not going to hold that person guiltless who offends such people. He says, woe unto them. And then there's the criminally minded, the offense that comes from them. Those that just can't obey the rules. They've got to push everything. And this often comes around with younger people. Not always, but younger people. And they push the envelope. They try to entice and coerce others to come along with them in their sin and in their violence or in their mayhem. Have you noticed that? Look, I know some of us are getting older and all that stuff, but we all remember. It's the same in human culture. It's the same. That when you and I were younger, there were always those enticing us. Come on, come on. Just come with us. Come on. I know somebody who wanted a ride home. He was at a party. He wanted a ride home. His ride had left him at this party. And he said, hey, is anybody heading this way? And some guy said, yeah, we're going that way. He said, can I have a ride with you? Yeah, sure. He gets in the car. And en route to them getting to their town, these guys in the front seat decide to rob a convenience store. Well, guess what? They got caught and they all went to jail. Even the poor guy who just wanted a ride home. There is the criminally minded that causes people to be offended. Everything's dirty. The Bible says to them who are filthy, everything's filthy. They, you know, you and I look at a cloud in the sky and say, doesn't that look like a dog? Look at that, it looks like Mickey Mouse. We've all done that, haven't we? Look at that, that looks like a funny face. To those that are filthy minded, everything's filthy. They spew this stuff. Or I can take advantage of that guy. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they often corrupt people. That's prevalent in our world today. And then I look at this one as what I call the prophets of pulp culture. They're the shapers of young girls' minds and attitudes and young boys' minds and attitudes, what they wear, what they say. I think of the things, think about this. God says, woe to those who cause people to stumble. And I think for a moment, just one life, I remember, and now maybe she's ancient history by now. I don't keep up with what's going on. But there used to be a woman that was famous by the name of Britney Spears. And she influenced girls to wear exactly what she was wearing, to say exactly what she was saying, and polluted an entire generation of young people. In my day, it was the Madonna types. On and on it goes. We're the pulp culture prophets, and they cause people to stumble. And somebody will listen to their music or hear that thing or read that article, and they'll go do the same thing. Jesus says, woe to them. And then maybe the most dangerous of all is the progressive religionists. Jesus says, woe to them. A person that is of a progressive religionist life is one who is all dressed up in religiosity, maybe even has the Bible open, and in the name of religion, using the name of God, begins to communicate to people things that are not even in the Bible, things that exactly are opposite to what God says. And because the culture they live in, they see it as a moving target, a changing kaleidoscope, as it were, that we can make up the rules as we go along. They do it all in the name of religion and offend an entire generation of people to that what is Christian can't even be found out anymore. And you go to churches without Bibles. I was at a church in Germany visiting. I was not speaking there. We just went into a church in Germany, a famous church. And in that church, they were going to be studying, chapter by chapter, the book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? It was a Sunday morning. Lay down the Bible, pick up books of men. Watch out. Sin being reinterpreted, salvation, all these things being redone. Jesus said, watch out for these things. The Christian, though stands for truth, will not be offensive, will not be rude. Secondly, what does a real Christian look like who's living in a foreign land? A real Christian will not be destructive. Look at verse 2. Jesus said, it would be better for this person if a millstone, oh my goodness, mark it, it would be better. What would be better? It would be better for this guy if a millstone was hung around his neck. That's 2,000 pounds, a millstone. If you've been with us to Israel, they're huge. Jesus said, it's better. If somebody causes someone else to no longer have faith, what would be better is for this person to take a millstone, tie it around his neck, and go down to the Huntington Beach Pier and throw it over the water and go down to the bottom. Jesus says, that's better. Yikes. Better than, oh yeah, Jesus is saying, listen, in the day of judgment, for those whose faith have been ravaged by attackers, false prophets, in the day of judgment, it's going to be better for that person if he would have just thrown himself into the ocean. This is serious stuff. General Jesus is giving commands, to be honest with you. These are serious commands. A true Christian will not be destructive. We won't have to worry about a millstone being strapped around our neck. There's nothing more dear to us than for you to have faith in God. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, listen, what if I don't put my faith in God? Are you going to kill me? No, we're not going to kill you. In fact, listen, if you don't want to put your faith in God, that is completely your business. We love you anyway. If you get a flat tire on the highway, we're still going to pull over and help you. If you don't want anything to do with our God, you don't have to have anything to do with our God. This is not compulsion. You don't want Christ? You don't have to have Christ. We'll still feed you. We'll still take care of you. But we love you, and we want you to know Christ. The real Christian's not destructive.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Real Christians Look Like. It's a look at the first 10 verses of Luke 17, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, we invite you to pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio. We have resources, special offers, even local events in Southern California, our nation, and beyond that affect us all as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.